There was a moment's silence. Jacob seemed unabashed at his adolescent self-absorbed narcissism. He just couldn't think of a suitably snappy comeback. The phone rang again. Lori gave Jacob a so-there look, eyebrows raised, chin tucked. Then she got up to answer the phone, hurrying a little to reach it before the fourth ring, when the answering machine would intercept the call. Jacob looked wary. Why was Mom answering the phone? We had already learned not to respond to the ringing. Jacob knew, certainly, that the call was not for him. His friends had all dropped him cold. Anyway, he had never used the telephone much. He considered it intrusive, awkward, archaic, inefficient. Any friend who wanted to speak to Jake would just text him or log into Facebook to chat. These new technologies were more comfortable because less intimate. Jake preferred typing to talking. I felt an instinctive urge to warn Lori not to answer, but I held back. I did not want to spoil the evening. I wanted to support her. These family dinners were important to Lori. Jacob was essentially right. She wanted to preserve as much normalcy as possible. Presumably, that's why she let her guard down. We were laboring to behave like a normal family, and normal families are not afraid of the phone. I said in a coded reminder, "What does the caller ID say?"
"Private caller."
She picked up the phone, which was in the kitchen, in clear view of the dining room table. Her back was to Jacob and me. She said, "Hello," then went silent. Over the next few seconds, her shoulders and back slumped by infinitesimal degrees. It was as if she was deflating slightly as she listened. I said, "Lori?" In a shaky voice, she said to the caller, "Who is this? Where did you get this number?" More listening. "Don't call here again, do you hear me? Don't you dare call here again." I took the phone from her gently and hung it up.
"Oh my God, Andy."
"Are you okay?" She nodded. We went back to the table and sat quietly for a moment. Lori picked up her fork and scooped a token bit of chicken into her mouth. Her face was rigid, her body still wilted and round-shouldered. "What did he say?" Jacob asked. "Just eat your dinner, Jacob." I could not reach her across the table. All I could offer was a concerned face. "You could star 69 him," Jacob suggested.
"Let's just enjoy our dinner," Lori said.
She took another nibble and chewed busily, then sat absolutely stone still. "Lori?" She cleared her throat, mumbled,
"Excuse me,"
and left the table. There were still 151 days to go. This audiobook is continued on Disc 5.